Well, that was really inspiring. Thank you, Steve.
And now we have the witty and wise Caroline Casey, visionary activist astrologer. Caroline Casey is a visionary activist astrologer devoted to the principle that imagination lays the tracks for the reality train to follow. Caroline believes in cultivating imagination whereby to spin the irresistibly eloquent unifying story as a strategic art for personal and collective change. A native of Washington, D.C., Caroline is the last of five children born to an Irish Democrat New Deal congressman and a politically active Yankee Swede. She has a degree in symbol systems, otherwise known as semiotics, from Brown University and has studied magic, mythology, and social activism all over the world. Based in Washington, D.C., Caroline broadcasts her live weekly radio show, The Visionary Activist Show, wedding spiritual magic to ingenious social action to Pacifica station KPFA in Northern California, replayed on LA's KPFK, and can be heard live on the web. Caroline is too radical for Caroline's own hometown. Caroline is the author of an audiobook, Visionary Activist Astrology, and a regular book, Making the Gods Work for You, The Astrological Language of the Psyche. She offers visionary activist revivals all over America, as well as in South Africa, where she spoke at the Parliament of World Religions, Sweden, New Zealand, and England. And she is the founder of the Coyote Network News, our own mythological news service, and the online Compassionate Trickster Experimental Juju Mystery School. Please welcome Caroline W. Casey.
So thank you. It is splendid for all allies of good heart to gather now at the time of direst democratic crisis, where we have what a friend of mine calls the Wupia in the White House, worst president in American history. So we are here to forgive the Wupia if we redefine forgive. I was thinking forgive, I don't even know what that means, we don't want to condone, but in the visionary activist coyote tradition, if we redefine forgive as meaning to give energy for change, then we feel quite forgiving. And even change out of the house would be good. So I want to begin, we're going to begin with Muti. Muti comes from the Sangomas of South Africa. It means power and medicine. True power is that which heals, neither harm nor be harmed. And so the Sangoma said, if you gather with good-hearted people, you may use this. So this is coyote hair, Sangoma medicine, Syrian tobacco, because we love the culture of the Middle East as well. We make common cause with all sane and reverent beings. And so we say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, residing within each one of our indigenous hearts, come forward now at this time of crisis, remembering that the war of independence is over, but the revolution is ongoing. And I like a friend of mine says, you know, if evolution is outlawed, only outlaws will evolve. So we say, here's the Muti, the miracle of molecular distribution. You know, may it be so. So Coyote Network News, Mythological News Service, July 4th edition, without magic, we're doomed. Ah, but with magic, what cool fun we could have. You know, the planets would say to us, we gather to consider in order to avert disaster. Disaster means against this, which is the underworld as well, where our souls speak more deeply to us and remind us of the sacredness of life, you know, and Aster's the stars. And so a disaster is when we pit our petty small wills against the larger pulse of the design. Consider, con means with, sitter another word for stars. Consider, we gather to consider, and by considering, we line up with creation as agents of cooperation. And we'd say in a simple way, magic simply means a willingness to honor life and to cooperate with everything. You know, we cooperate with, it was inky cap mushrooms from which the ink was derived that wrote the Magna Carta. You know, the mushrooms are rooting for us. And they go, we want a habeas corpus back. Now, it was on hemp that the Declaration of Independence was written. And hemp goes, we want to come back too. So we are here to compost that which has led us into war. We are here to compost tyranny as rich nutrient for the culture of reverent ingenuity we are growing. And man, if we can compost tyranny, we have a nearly infinite renewable energy source. So we're here to work on that. Now, I heard John Michael Greer mentioned, and he is a great ally of the Visionary Activist Show, and it was years ago that he just made it very clear for all of us. He said, if you want people to get nothing done but war and conflict, convince them they're on one side of something. The number two is for you. And what two needs is three, which is the spiraling third force unifying story that says we are all part of one large pulsing dream. There is no harm, no love, no injustice done to one that is not done to all. You know, Uranus, the trickster, the spirit of democracy, in Pisces says, strategic, personal, and social advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols, dreams, imagination. We go, that's our strong suit team. We've been smoked in our strong suit until now. You know, and a friend said, you know, where symbol, the word comes from. And I go, oh, only the point of my whole life. Sim means together, and bowl means to throw. You know, we throw together. We cultivate an intimacy with the world by being able to read it symbolically. And my friend said, either we have a symbolic understanding of the world or we have a diabolic world thrown apart. So everything that we love is crucial now as we become increasingly pragmatic mystics, you know, a crucial thing. So Uranus and Pisces says, really the divine, the gods, whatever form, wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination, and to be able to hold multiple stories at once. There was a great study done a year and a half ago that said to the degree to which people are ironic is the degree to which they have the capacity for compassion. And I love that because at first you think irony is a kind of British, bitter, put-down thing. But to be ironic, you have to be able to hold two stories at least at once, usually what is and what should be. And to be compassionate is to amplify that and hold multiple stories at once. From black Christian churches, they tell us there's no one we couldn't love if we really knew their story. So to be knowledgeable, to be informed is magic. Astrology says no knowledge, no intuition. It's a process of putting actual facts on the table, and then intuition is pattern recognition, intuitive sense of what's possible within a person or a country. And so it's crucial, as great stand-up British comedian Robert Newman says, how many people here know that World War I begins in Basra, Iraq? And people go, no, the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand. And he says, no one was that popular. But it's true, leading up to World War I, the British Navy changes from coal to oil. Germany follows suit, but they have no oil-producing colonies. So they begin to build the Berlin-Baghdad-Basra Railway. They already have the Orient Express to Constantinople. And so the British troops, you know, and Winston Churchill and all of Europe says, this will break our oil cartel. And they send, you know, hundreds of British regiments to Basra, Iraq, to blow up the German railway, and that's where World War I begins. And he says, it's crucial for us to know this. No good war. One long disguised con of foreign policy, scrabbling to the last little bits of ancient sunlight. And what Newman says is, since we have to make the switch anyway from oil, why don't we do it now, while we still have a 24/7 kind of grid that's working, maybe so, you know, and begin to make that ingenious switch. And so we're here to call upon the best parts of our souls, the best parts of this country, which is ingenuity, maverickness, you know, freedom. Again, we're entering, it's neck and neck. We're entering into an ingenious time. You know, the Inky Cap mushrooms that provided the ink for the Magna Carta, great allies, Paul Stamets, who is an ambassador from the mushroom realm, he's working with the Department of Defense. He's found mushrooms that will heal or prevent anthrax. He's found mushrooms that will metabolize nerve gas, leave it harmless. He's found mushrooms that will metabolize E. coli, and on and on and on. So I asked him, have you found mushrooms that will metabolize depleted uranium? And he goes, no, but the little guys are working on it. You know, mushrooms grew up around Chernobyl to absorb and collect the radioactivity, but they couldn't hold it for longer than they would degrade. But he says, but they're working on it. All of nature is willing and waiting, our dedication, our wonder, to collaborate. And so it is more than perfect as Venus and Saturn rise in the east right now, reminding us, you know, that we alone as humans cannot solve the innumerable irreverent crises we've created as a species. Only by inviting back in that quality of intelligence whose exile has led us to this giant, cruel kerfuffle. And that would be Venus, the willingness to cooperate. We say one of the frame stories of now is Mars unsupervised by Venus. In all world mythologies, you know, when Mars is unsupervised by Venus, first you have, you know, eating baked beans out of the can, then farting, then brawling, then planetary extinction soon thereafter. You know, you have genetic engineering in which we cut our ancestral guidance story, our DNA, you know, and we go, we're boys and unsupervised by Venus, so we're going to put mackerel genes in this tomato, by God. We go, until now. Because right now, setting in the west is Mars in Taurus, in Venus's sign. Mars, the fierce and heroic and positive quality in Taurus, stewardship and protection of life. And Mars says, willing to collaborate with Venus. You know, the Arthurian legends were founded, the round table was dedicated to the preservation of life, the protection against injustice, you know, and all of those crucial things. So we say, good. You know, we want to call on the soul of America, that quickening to come forth, to invite it forth. This park was part of the White House grounds until 1804. And then it was a park which became a graveyard. There are bones buried here. And then a zoo. And then a slave market. Not much difference. You know, so, you know, we say we're going to, I'm going to hand the baton, you know, in some short moments to great Priestess Paxson, who will invoke the Founding Fathers, but we want to invoke the Inky Caps and the Mushrooms and the Willingness and Deborah Sampson, who was a woman soldier and pre-spy to George Washington, and all the hidden powerful women. But most of all, we know that the Founding Fathers borrowed most of what they know about democracy from the Iroquois Nation. Yes. But unfortunately, they edited out Venus. They edited out reverence for life. They forgot to include the one thing that makes democracy work, which is the Council of Grandmothers. And the Council of Grandmothers had the veto on all unsupervised Mars. They'd say, no, this is not good for the next seven generations. You can't do it. And Mars would go practice tantrum yoga and then come back to the fire and have culture. We know from science, you know, scientists doing what they often do, you know, tormenting monkeys. They had a number of dominant male monkeys, and they kept adding more dominant males into the mix. And at a crucial point, and that would be now for us teammates, you know, what happened was half of the male dominant monkeys basically became Jamaican. They're like, hey man, we're out of here, we're going to go join, you know, the women whom we know are having culture, we now notice. The rest of the monkeys that all stayed and vied for dominance all died. Either they killed each other or they died of heart attacks and autoimmune diseases. Says dominance is an evolutionary dead end. We want to die to it, lest we die from it. Now, Saturn is opposite. Venus and Saturn are rising together. It says Venus has the authority, opposite Neptune. It says at no time has mythology been more pertinent. In our blood, the Grail legend lives. And in the Grail legend, you know, Western occult mythology, crucial. But it's crucial that Parsifal, the pure of heart, can only attain the Grail, the waters of life, to heal the wasteland and replenish it, when he finds he has a black Islamic twin brother named Serfaz, and only together can they heal it. What that says to our souls is very often the oppressor country, you know, what it needs is the medicine of the oppressed. Now, there is bad guys and all kinds of stuff, but what's the most effective magical way to deal with it, the spiraling, and to extend the Venusian foreign policy to the beauty, complexity, and wisdom of the Middle East? Because only the most beautiful aspects of esoteric Islam and the most beautiful aspects of Christianity and the most beautiful aspects of animism together. You know, E.O. Wilson says, for $26 billion, practically nothing, we could resolve almost all human poverty around the world and save most of the species. $26 billion, we spend that in a month on fighting for oil. You know, it's crazy. You know, and he says he's working with evangelical Christians because we all need to have a unifying story. And again, he says we can argue about evolution later, you know, but meanwhile, we've got a common task, which is real reverence for life and moving reverence for life back into positions of leadership. You know, reverence for life is the unifying invitational story. You know, so I like to say, you know, we're here to suck the G out of kingdom. You know, we go, because when we suck the G out of kingdom, it leaves the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we want to suck the G, you know, and then disperse it where it belongs, which is everywhere. And we might also, while we're at it, we might want to suck the M out of empire and replace it with an X. Empire is expiring, may it be so. And that seems to be for sure. As Pluto, death, rebirth god, by the end of this year enters Capricorn and says, the stories, the images we vitalize now, this day and forevermore, you know, have everything to do with how we experience the collapse of empire. And it won't be pretty, but there will be great beauty. Now, tightening up. The word conjure, of course, means with the law. We work with everything, as so many of the colleagues here on the stage and in the audience and everywhere are doing. I had a great woman on, Elizabeth de la Vega. Everyone's magic if you speak to them. You know, and she was a former federal prosecutor, Republican, for 20 years. And so she wrote a book, U.S. versus Bush, and said, let's take it out of, you know, political spin and rapid stuff. She just says, let's convene a grand jury. That was her specialty. And she says, in the book, which is highly readable and wonderful, U.S. versus Bush, and we did a great radio show, you can listen to it, coyotenetworknews.net. But I introduced her by saying, this is a brilliant act of conjure, because she imaginably invokes the grand jury to investigate. She brings a 62-count indictment against Bush, Cheney, Rice, Rumsfeld for conspiracy to defraud Congress, you know, and just lays it out on the table. At the end of it, you know, I said, what is your deepest wish as a recovering Republican, and, you know, whatever, and she goes, we really do need to impeach. You know, it may be off the table, but we put it back on the table, because I love the dog whisperer, you know, he says, Americans have forgotten how to be pack leaders, calm and assertive. You know, and then the dog, calm, submissive. It's not perfect, but it'll do. It's pretty good. And so I like the idea. I don't know how many of you have seen the dog whisperer, but he drives up in his Jeep to where there's red zone, dangerous dogs. So I say, well, we're becoming politician whisperers. It's ours to define the job. We are calm and assertive. You politicians, you be calm and submissive. We're going to define the job. And we see the dog whisperer, politician whisperer part of us driving up to the White House because there's some red zone dogs there who need a little bit of help and rehabilitation. So, the age of marvelous solutions. We want to know everything dire. I was invited to this grown-up thing, physics, leading-edge physics engineers about water conference at the Swedish embassy. You know, I was invited to give the water blessing ceremony. So first we heard in the morning the dire news, which we need to know. Virtually all engineers and physicists from around the world in India saying, if we don't switch fuels, if we don't enter this age of ingenious, you know, revolution, evolution, of which the American spirit is completely possible to be engaged, again, invited. We need this. They all agreed that by 2030, most of the world's rivers would be gone. The Ganges, possibly the Mississippi. They said this will make war look like nothing. We have a common vision, again, about water. And even in the faux mythology of the Cowboy West, as evidenced by Gunsmoke on radio, the worst crime was the fencing off of water. And I remember seeing a sign a homeless person was holding, and he said, why has the Bush family bought 76,000 acres in Paraguay? They go, oh, I love the homeless news service. Let me go home and Google it. And it turns out it's all in the press in Latin America. The Bush family, sealed by Jenna, bought 76,000 acres in Paraguay, next to a million acres of Sun Myung Moon, who's a friend of Papa Bush. It's on top of the Guarani Aquifer, the largest freshwater supply in the world. It has enough water for every living thing for 200 years. Now, Latin America's freaked out because there are other countries on the border going, oh, so we go, no, we're going to, you know, put your hands up and back away from the Iraqi oil. Pull the straw out of the Guarani Aquifer and back away, and nobody else gets hurt. We know that such, you know, incredible calamity, you know, forces of such destruction have been put in place, that we need to cooperate with everything, the mushrooms, the animals, the everything, all traditions blending. We need everything. But again, I think all faiths and traditions want to be tested against, is it democratic? Is it equal? Is the trickster welcome? Is ingenuity welcome? Does it embrace, again, a common citizenship and a common understanding that we are all in this thing together, that we're cooperating with wolves? We have more in common socially with wolves than we do with apes, says head of the Humane Society. And he said, wolves don't operate on dominance. They operate on charisma. And in wolf culture, charisma means who initiates play best. And I go, now that's a leadership criterion I could live with. It's not just play. It's like, let's go hunting, let's do this. But play is the top. In wolf culture, very often wolf leader, alpha wolf, is female. You can tell the alpha wolf within 10 days of birth because it's the wolf pup with the lowest resting heartbeat. So the calmest and the most dynamic, that is the kind of leadership we're putting together. That's what we're hiring. And we take also maybe from geese. Lead goose rotates. We rotate, you know, on stage, backstage. We rotate around. That's crucial. So we're here. We want to, you know, create lives of reciprocal blessing. Jupiter says, what is the one way of relating to the world that is guaranteed replenishing and never depleting? And Jupiter says, blessing. Now, it can be fierce blessing. You know, let only those who reverence life be allowed to set foot in that house. You know, boom. Anything that we would be the happy recipient of, we're allowed to set in motion. And so I brought Oya's whip. Oya is Uranus, the feminine manifestation. And the marketplace also pretty cool. You know, in virtually all world mythology, the god or goddess of the marketplace is the trickster, reminding us that it's not meant to be some Walmart, or as a six-year-old friend of mine says, Voldemort, you know. It's meant to be the caravanserai. It's meant to be where there's spices from Syria and beautiful handmade things and things coming in from here and there and storytelling and Scheherazade and ingenuity. So that's all quite available. So as we suck the tyranny out of the White House, we want to do that, you know, with Oya's whip. We suck the G out of kingdom, you know, and let reverence be spiraled in. Again, reverence for life, council of grandmothers, regardless of our extremely temporary gender, race, and age assignment. It lives within all of us and it wants to come back. We imagine the council of grandmothers surrounding the White House, and then everything real, everything symbolic. We say, is that the thing or the symbol of the thing? We go, kind of both, but it's the symbol, and we are inhaling back our trickster autonomy. Uranus is ingenuity, inventiveness, trickster, democracy, equality, synchronicity. And the relationship is, it says, when we treat each other as equals, when we tease democratic principles into our manner of being, into every molecule of our blood, then the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. And this is what makes the culture of reverent ingenuity, gives it a sporting chance. We say the dementors of doom, carrying the precious burden of creation, lumbering towards the abyss, we're going to snip that net. Free creation, let the dementors of doom tumble over the abyss to be redeemed in some future Buddhist cosmology. You know, leave our story here. But meanwhile, again, we say, we make common cause. You know, E.O. Wilson reminds us that in each human body is 126 billion miles of DNA, 2 meters spiraled within each cell. He says, how dare we treat life with reference? Each is a unique experiment. How dare we blow it away? You know, again, the reverencing is crucial. So we want to call upon the ingenious, inventive spirit of democracy. We want to call upon, you know, oh yeah, absolutely. So just to join with me as we spiral in, we're sucking the tyranny out of this culture. We're sucking the G out of kingdom. Funda, 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 funda. And then again, we are spiraling in reverse. We are spiraling in that sense of ingenuity, dedication to democracy in all our manner of being, that we may be irresistible, irresistibly eloquent agents of the large, all-inclusive story. Ashe, may it be so. Ashe. Ashe. Thank you.